Good evening. If you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 21, in just a moment we will read a passage of Scripture there. As you're turning there, let me say what a privilege it is to be able to stand before you again to study God's Word and to come together again on the Lord's Day to worship Him. And I hope that our study this evening, as we look again at the life of Noah, will be of importance to us, and we will glean some truths that we can take home with us and help us to be better Christians in God's sight. In Matthew chapter 21, of course, Jesus is in the temple in the last week of His earthly ministry before going to the cross. And He had come into the temple in Matthew 21 and verse 12. And He had entered in and overturned the money changers' seats and tables. He shook up the place, we might say. And of course, the scribes and Pharisees would be very upset at that. "You're making my house a den of robbers," verse 13. Then the next day, when He comes into the temple, in verse 23, there's a question that is asked here that I believe may be second to "What must I do to be saved?" would be one of the most important questions in all of the New Testament. And that is, by what authority do you do these things? Matthew 21, verse 23, "And when He came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him, and as He was teaching, and said, 'By what authority do you do these things, and who gave thee this authority?'" By what authority do you teach what you're teaching? By what authority yesterday did you overturn the money changers' tables? Who gives you a right to come in here and do this kind of thing? It's a great question. Of course, we know from other Bible passages like Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 that Jesus has all authority. And He does only that which He has authority to do. But they're asking, by what authority? Verse 24, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'I will ask you one question, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men?'" And those are the two places from which authority can come. We can either get authority from God in heaven, or we can get authority from man on the earth. But if we shall say, verse 25, "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, 'If we shall say from heaven, He will say unto us, why then did we not believe Him?'" If somebody is doing something by God's authority, we need to obey that. "But if we shall say from men, we fear the multitude, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, 'We know not.' He also said unto them, 'Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" And I believe what He says about the two sons in verse 28 and following is a continuation of the matter of authority. But we'll stop right there. If you'll turn back with me this evening to Genesis chapter 6, where we were this morning, I want to ask a few questions this evening about gopher wood. Now, my questions this evening don't have to do about the wood itself, but the command that God gave to use it. We're going to talk about Bible authority this evening. In years gone by, the matter of Bible authority was something that was discussed a lot. It was something that was discussed in sermons and Bible classes and Wednesday night talks and various kinds of discussions. And it's something that we need to continue to keep in front of us constantly. Constantly. We must have authority for what we do. We see around us in the world today, even among brethren, that there are individuals acting without Bible authority. We don't want our children growing up and being individuals who act without Bible authority. We don't want to act without Bible authority. But we don't want the next generation to grow up and just simply do whatever comes to mind. That's what is currently being done in the name of religion, and it'll only get worse. Our generation, the generation after us, and the younger generations, they need to know the principle of Bible authority. There are a number of great lessons from Noah. We looked at some of those this morning. There are good lessons involving what faith is obedient, and faith is active. There are good lessons that we discussed this morning with regard to the challenges that we face when we try to help a sinful world around us. We looked at that this morning. But there's also some lessons here. I want to pick up the reading in chapter 6 and verse 13 through 22 on Bible authority. We need to understand the authority for what we do in the name of religion. Churches of Christ are doing all kinds of things without Bible authority. The denominations are doing all kinds of things without Bible authority, and it just gets worse and worse every year. We need to keep in front of our minds the subject of Bible authority. Of course, we know the statement, the well-known statement in chapter 6 and verse 14, make an ark of gopher wood, and I want to ask some questions this evening about gopher wood, not about the wood itself. In fact, we don't know a whole lot about that. If you can say the word gopher, you can say a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for gopher is gopher. So now you know one Hebrew word. We don't know much about it. The scholars don't know much about the etymology of it. We think that it probably has to do something along the lines of a pine or a cypress. Some of the newer versions say make an ark of cypress wood, some resinous wood, which makes sense because that would be a wood that is water resistant, if not waterproof. So you see the wisdom in using that particular wood. But my questions this evening are not about the wood itself, but about the command to use it. And hopefully this evening we can learn some lessons about Bible authority. I want our children and our grandchildren to go to heaven because they have been following God's Word, what God says and not what man says. I don't want them sitting in a Church of Christ one day with Church of Christ on the sign or Church of Christ on the building, but doing all kinds of things without Bible authority. I don't want that, and I don't think you want that for your children or your grandchildren. So we must always keep in front of us the subject of Bible authority. Let's read together Genesis 6, verse 13 through 22. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. And this is how thou shalt make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. And a light shalt thou finish it upward a cubit, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And I, behold, I do bring the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive from thee. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And Jehovah said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee seven and seven, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean, two, the male and his female. Of the birds also of the heavens, seven and seven, male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. And Noah did according unto all that Jehovah commanded him. Let's ask some questions this evening about gopher wood. The first question that comes to my mind is this. Did God have to say gopher wood more than once for it to be required of Noah? It's interesting that when you look at this story of Noah and the ark, it's a story that children learn from their youth up, and many religious individuals of various religious stripes know the story of Noah and the ark, and they would never argue with these questions. These questions would be easily answered by everyone, even in the community, with a resounding no. And yet, you'll find that when it comes to New Testament practices and religious practices today, we somehow don't see the importance of the question. Go back to chapter 6 and verse 14. God commanded Noah, and he gave this command one time. God said it once. From the command to build the ark, to the animals, to the food that were placed in the ark, and everything in between, God said this one time. At least as it's recorded by Moses. God said it one time. Yet we read in verse 22 that Noah did all according that God commanded. What's an application for us today? Sometimes when you're having religious discussions with individuals today, they'll say that such and such is not mentioned in this verse, or such and such is mentioned only one time, and so it's not that important. There are those, for example, who do not find baptism in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. No baptism there. So baptism is not important. Well, baptism is mentioned other places, and even if it were just mentioned one time, that would be enough. Did God have to say gopher wood over and over and over again to send the message that it's important? No, He just said it one time. God commanded baptism in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And that's enough. We have more than Acts 2:38. We have several passages that show the importance of baptism. Yet, if we just had one, Acts 2:38, that would be enough. One important matter of Bible authority is this, that God has to say something one time, and that's all that He has to say it, for it to be not only authorized, but important for us. You can look through the New Testament and you can find some things where it's listed one time or maybe a couple of times. It's just not mentioned very much. That's just as important as something that is mentioned on every page of the Scripture. One that comes to my mind with regard to assembling is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. How many times is that mentioned in Scripture? Don't forsake the assembling. Is it on every page of the Word of God? No, it's mentioned one time to my knowledge. That makes it important. That makes it required. That makes it something that I need to sit up and take attention of just one time. Remember that the next time we're looking at Bible matters. I've discussed Bible matters with people and they'll say, well, such and such is not mentioned over and over again, so it's not important. Or it's just mentioned one time, so it's not important. No, one time is important. He didn't have to say gopher wood over and over again. He didn't have to say, make an ark. He didn't have to mention the size, the length, the height, and the breadth over and over again. He didn't have to discuss these matters over and over again. One time is all He said. Have you ever done that with your children? You tell them one time, and then they argue with you, or they disobey, or they go do this, and they go do that. And when you respond to them, what do you say? I just had to tell you one time. We say that to our kids. Well, God's doing the same thing with us. I just had to say it one time. So remember that the next time we're going through our New Testament and we're looking at Bible passages on how to live each day and how to worship and how to work in the local church and how to be a good Christian, it could be mentioned just one time and that's enough. That's God's authority for that matter. We understand that in the story of Noah's Ark. Let us understand it in our lives today. Got another question. about gopher wood. Could Noah have used another kind of wood since God said nothing against other kinds of wood? Turn back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Does it say, make thee an ark of gopher wood, but don't use maple. Don't use pine. Don't use oak. And then there's a whole list of woods that he wasn't supposed to use. Is that what you read in the text? Are there a series of thou shalt nots in this text? Often today when we're having Bible studies with individuals, that's one of the first things that it's said. And it's not just, folks, what we say out in the denominational world. This is the very thing that some brethren are saying with regard to adding instrumental music into worship in this century, in this time that we're living in now. Where does it say not to have an instrument? All we find in Genesis chapter 6 is a series of do this, do this, do this positive statements. The command to use gopher wood excluded any other kind of wood. And God, it's a basic principle of Bible authority that when God states something, it excludes all other substitutions and additions. God did not have to give a long list of things not to use. And again, we do that with our family, don't we? When we tell them to go somewhere or to buy something, we don't have to follow it up with all the things not to buy or all the places not to go. We just tell them what to buy. And so we need to understand this basic principle of Bible authority, that when God expresses something, especially when He's specific about it, He doesn't have to follow it up with all of the things not to do. Brethren, can you imagine the size of your Bible? If every time God told us, let's just take the New Testament, every time that God told us to do something, if He followed it up with a list of all the things not to do, do you realize your Bible would be so heavy you couldn't even carry it? And yet that's how we argue today. Well, where does it say not to? Where in the Bible does it say not to use instrumental music? Where does it say in the Bible not to sprinkle instead of immersing for baptism? Where does it say not to sprinkle? Thou shalt not sprinkle. That's not how God expresses His authority. And so where in the Bible does it say not to is a popular religious phrase. And even some brethren now are using that very thing. In Ephesians 5:19, we're told to sing. That excludes other kinds of music. And I've read just recently where brethren in churches of Christ are saying, when I read Ephesians 5:19, it doesn't say, thou shalt not use instruments, so I can use instruments. Well, they don't understand how God expresses His authority. And they understand, if you were to ask these brethren about Noah and the ark and gopher wood, they would say, no, Noah couldn't use other wood. Well, the same principle is true today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. A few years back, one of the preacher in Springfield from the large institutional congregation came to our gospel meeting, and we had a Even before that, we had a good relationship, not real close, but good. And he came one night to the gospel meeting, and just a real fine gentleman, an older gentleman. And after the service, he was walking out, and we were just talking a little bit. And we set up a Bible study to discuss the differences in the churches of Christ there in Springfield. I'd like to do that here in Clarksville if that opportunity ever showed up. And it was a great study, and we studied for about 6 weeks in a row. And the differences between us were things like the orphan home, the sponsoring church, and the fellowship hall. And we discussed those matters. Very cordial, very good Bible study. But one day he was lamenting what they were doing at their church building with the fellowship hall. This gospel meeting was in the October, in the fall of the year. And they were planning over at this Church of Christ trunk or treat. They were going to use church funds to buy candy for Halloween and pass it out in the parking lot there at the Church of Christ building. And he was upset that they were going to do that. He felt that that was too liberal, that was too far for them. They shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. So he brought that matter up. And we were discussing their use of the fellowship hall and that type of thing. And he mentioned something that I thought was interesting. He said that on Wednesday nights, they provide a meal for all of the members. Now, providing a meal for the members is nothing new. I'd heard that brethren have been doing that for many, many years, at least back to maybe the 50s or 60s. But what struck me as interesting was he said they charge for the meal. They charge for the meal. There's one price for the adults, and there's another price for the young people. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. How is a local church to gather its money? For many years, the denominations have said things like this. When we talk with them, that it's to be upon the first day of the week. Notice that that's specified. Paul didn't say upon the first day of the week, and not the second day, and not the third day, and not the fourth day. All he had to do was say upon the first day of the week. That excludes all of the other days. But in verse 2, he says, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper. That's Bible authority for what we call giving a contribution into a treasury. Lay by in store is the Greek word there is from which we get thesaurus, which means a treasury. There's our Bible authority for a treasury, to lay by. And some people think, well, verse 2 means that each person sort of puts the money beside himself. But notice in verse 2, at the latter part, that no collections be made when I come. So even if you just put it beside yourself, you'd still have to collect it when Paul came. So it's not this, you just put your money beside yourself, but let each one lay by him in store. You put it into a treasury. That is the authorized way to gather money. But for years, denominational brethren have had bake sales and pie suppers and raffles and carnivals and dunking booth for the preacher and the elders and that type of thing. And I can just picture that. I can just picture that. A dunking booth with the elders. But now brethren are raising money in unauthorized ways. You're charging for a meal. That's not the way that is authorized. But I hear, where does it say not to? Where does it say not to charge for a meal? Where does it say not to have a bake sale, not to have a pie supper, not to have a raffle, not to have a carnival? God authorizes by telling us what He wants. That excludes all other ways. Even we as brethren need to go back to basics on Bible authority. Here's a third question that comes to my mind with regard to gopher wood. Was Noah's use of gopher wood a matter of expediency? And this is where even brethren have confused some things. A lot of times things are done today that are unauthorized, but what is said is, well, it's an expediency. It's an expediency. Let's talk about that a little bit. Was Noah's use of gopher wood a matter of expediency? In other words, a matter of choice or opinion, whether you could use it or not. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 6. This is one area of Bible authority where even brethren have gotten a little confused. And I want our young people to really pay attention on this principle. This will help us in a long for a long part of our life to get this down well. That sometimes God speaks in a way that is in a general way. Listen very carefully. When God speaks generally, that's where expediencies come in. But when God speaks specifically, there are no expediencies in that. It is the one and only way in which He specifically spoke. Look at verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. What part of that is more general in nature and what part of that is very specific? The word make is general. Make thee an ark. Ark is specific. We're going to talk about that word in just a minute. Gopher is specific. So you can't just use any kind of wood. You can't build any kind of boat, like a rowboat or a barge or whatever you want to build. It needs to be an ark. There are some things about verse 14 and 15 and 16 and following that are general in nature, and then there are some things that are specific in nature. And when it's general, there may be expediencies in carrying that out. But if it's specific, there are no expediencies. And gopher is specific. When God said gopher wood, He was specific. There are actually other specifics. Look at verse 15 and 16 and 17. What about the length and the height and the breadth of this boat? Is it specific or open-ended? It's specific. Specific measurements are given. What about the levels? Verse 16. The lower, second, and third. That's specific. You can't build four or five. You can't build less than three. It's specific. So very, very important. When God is general, there are expediencies in carrying that out. So back to verse 14. Make. Make is general. Noah could have chosen any equipment or tool he needed to aid him in making the ark. Make an ark of gopher wood. God didn't specify the tools to use to make that. So Noah could have used a hammer and some nails and a saw and a saw horse and a host of other things to get that thing made. So, expediencies go along with the general commands, but they do not go along with specifics. And when God in the New Testament, with the church now, has given us specific examples and even statements of something being done, then there is no expediency with that. It must be done that way. Let's illustrate it in a couple of ways. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Assemble. That's general. We must assemble. But we can choose how to assemble. It could be a private home. It could be a church building like we're in this evening. It could be under a tree. It could be down by a river. We're still assembling. But in Ephesians 5:19, when Paul says singing, that's specific. And that excludes any other kind of music. We cannot have instrumental music because Paul said singing. Some people in the Christian church started this as far back as probably the early 1900s. The Christian church said that instrumental music is an expediency to carry out singing. All we're doing is we're helping the singing. No, you're adding something. And so singing is specified. You can't do anything other than singing. And so some people, including brethren and others, have taken specific things in the New Testament and said, well, actually, there's different ways that can be done. We're going to call it expediencies. No, when it's specified, there are no expediencies. When Paul said sing, we must sing. Now, let me ask you this, or let's make this observation. That when Paul said sing, to carry that out, we can use a songbook. We can do it from memory. We can use PowerPoint like we have the past few weeks. We're not changing anything. We're still singing. But when you begin to play an instrument, now you've added something to the singing. And there's a difference between an aid and an addition. And we've got to learn that. Sometimes brethren will add things. They call it an aid, but it's actually adding to the pattern that is in the New Testament. So, was Noah's use of gopher wood a matter of expediency? No. And by the way, if you haven't noticed it this evening, every one of these questions is answered with no. No. Noah's use of gopher wood was a matter of specific divine authority. It had to be that way. Look at the word ark. That's an interesting word. It's used a few times in the Old Testament. It means a box or a chest. I don't know if you noticed this morning the picture that I had. I was trying to be careful about picking a picture that got closer to that word than some of our pictures of Noah's ark that have a bow and a stern, and it's curved up on the end. And this was just simply made for floating. It wasn't made for speed. It wasn't in the shape of a bass boat or anything like that. It's literally a box. A great example of this, the same word is used if you look over at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. Baby Moses was put in, the American Standard says, he was put in an ark of bulrushes. An ark of bulrushes. He was put in a box. He was put in a chest. That's specific. Noah cannot make some other kind of boat. And so when Noah used gopher wood, it's because it was specified. In the New Testament, there are things that have been specified that brethren have said, no, actually that's an expedient, when in fact it's specified. In James 1:27, with regard to taking care of orphans, it is specified in that context that it's individuals. The orphan home is not an expediency, it's an addition. It's an addition to God's pattern where individuals are to take care of orphans. And just a couple of weeks ago, here in Middle Tennessee, some brethren, Sherry and I included, and some of my family and others, and I don't mention this to bring attention to ourselves, but to simply say that we want to practice what we preach. Just a couple of weeks ago, $91,000 was raised in Middle Tennessee to take care of orphans. We do what the Bible teaches. We're not anti-orphan. But we're not going to come along and make a separate institution. That's an addition. It was specified in James 1:27. Look at the context. Going all the way back to verse 18 and following, he who hears and does, it's an individual, clearly. There are some who have come along and added the sponsoring church. And they say, well, it's just an expedient way to preach the gospel. No, it's an addition. In the New Testament, it was always money sent directly to the preacher. Philippians 4:15 and 16. Money was sent directly to the need. Acts 11:29 and 30. When we had the hurricane last fall, I remember Bob saying something to the effect, we're going to send the money directly to the elders. With some brethren, it doesn't matter how you send it. You can send it to Disasters of Relief Fund and then let them send it, or a host of other ways. We want to follow the Bible pattern because that's the specified pattern. No other pattern is given. And we could give other examples. Expediency is only when there is a generic command. But when something has been specified, like individuals taking care of orphans and sending money directly to the preacher or the need, then that is no longer an area of expediency. That is a specified way that must be done. Another question. Would Noah have been saved if he did all that God commanded except use gopher wood? What if Noah had built this ark? It took him about 100 to 120 years. He gets it all done and he did exactly everything he was supposed to do. It had the three levels. It had the exact dimensions. He brought in the right kind of animals. Some were 2x2 and some were in the sevens. And he followed all that. But he's out there looking at it and he had done the whole thing with oak. Would he have still been saved? Nope. You'll find that today in religious discussions, where somebody will say, what about that person who's on his way to the baptistry and a tree falls on him? You know, you hear that kind of thing. We have to do all that God says. Notice in chapter 6 and verse 22 and chapter 7 and verse 5 that Noah did all that God commanded him. There's no provision made for something to be left out. God didn't say, I want you to do this, 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 and this. Except if you don't want to do such and such, you don't have to do it. Sometimes somebody will say, well, here's this person who's killed on the way to the baptistry. And they've done all that God had wanted them to do except to be baptized. Are they going to be lost? Well, answer your question with no. When God tells us to do something, we need to do that. All of it. I hear this today. God is not concerned with details. He's only concerned with things like love and God's grace and God's mercy. He's not concerned with details. I was reading an article a few months ago where somebody was talking about how that they wanted a relationship, not rules. I want a relationship with God, not rules. What they're saying is they're trying to downplay the need to obey all that God tells us to do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. What is necessary in becoming a disciple of Christ? Jesus sent the apostles, told them to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe most things whatsoever I command. No, all things whatsoever I command you. That's a part of being a disciple. We need a relationship with Christ. But it's not mutually exclusive. The relationship comes about when we follow the rules. The rules give us the relationship. It's not one or the other. It's both. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. And that leaves no room for exceptions. It doesn't say, Hebrews 5:9, to all them who mostly obey Him, but all who obey Him. And so no, Noah would not have been saved if he had done all of it except use gopher wood. We have to do all that God wants us to do. Would Noah have been saved and would he have done what he was supposed to do if he had followed the majority of his family? There are eight there and they take a vote. Would the desire of the majority have justified Noah in using some other kind of wood? Because they sat down one day, they started with gopher wood and they ran out that day. And to get some more gopher wood, you'd have to travel a long ways away. So let's just sit down as a family and just see what we want to do. And the wife puts her hand up. I vote for oak. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth, I'm good with oak. And after a while you get a majority, would that be okay? No one was asked for their opinion. And yet today, that's what's happening even in the Lord's church. In 2006, when the Richland Hills Church of Christ in the Dallas-Fort Worth area added instrumental music, they put their sermons online and I listened to them online about their changes. And one of the lessons had the elders saying that we asked the members what they wanted to do. And we got feedback from them that many of them wanted to add instrumental music, so we're adding instrumental music. Noah listened to God. He didn't listen to his family or to the rest of the world. Noah did according to what God had commanded him. Sometimes today you'll hear things like, the majority of religious people do it. Well, this may be true, but it doesn't justify our practice. We're almost getting to the point where a majority of people in this country are divorcing, but that doesn't make it right. We're getting more and more states. It's going to get to the point where a majority of states sanction same-sex marriage if it hasn't already. I've forgotten the latest statistic on that. But that wouldn't make it right. If all 50 states approved of it, it wouldn't make it right. We need to be like Paul, Galatians 1:10. He was in the business of pleasing God, not men. And as servants of Christ, we just simply need to do what the New Testament teaches. Well, other churches of Christ are doing it. That doesn't make it so. Other religious groups are doing it. That doesn't make it authorized. And so Noah just simply did what God said to do. Now, that may put us in the minority. That's right. That's right. How many? Few? Few? That is, eight souls were saved. You'll probably be in the minority, but you'll be in God's minority. And then last of all, would using some other kind of wood been authorized if Noah had called it a good work? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. we sat down and we decided to use oak, and then there were some places where we thought maple would look really pretty, and so we put some maple in there, and it's a good work. Brethren, that has been going on for years and years, including our own brethren. Slap the phrase good work on it, and you can do whatever you want. The elders at Hillcrest and Springfield called Trunk or Treat a good work. It's a good work for our young people. Good work. Well, you can slap the phrase good work on it all day long. Anything you want, but that doesn't make it so. How do we know if something is a good work? It has to be that which has been prepared by God. And the only way that we know that it's prepared by God is if He tells us about it in His Word. We don't sit down and come up with the good works. Look at verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. God has to give it to us. We don't decide that. And He gives it to us. He tells us about that in His Word. One other thing about good works that I want to mention. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. And I've said some things this evening about our brethren. I realize that. And I hope that somebody would point out to me that if I'm doing something that is unauthorized. But I want to say something by way of balance here. If you'll turn with me to Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Our brethren, many of them, are doing things in the name of good works that are unauthorized. But look at verse 14, brethren. Is it possible that we here at Warfield Boulevard can be doing things only that are authorized, but we're not zealous of good works? In other words, our institutional and liberal brethren, they're doing things called good works that have no Bible authority for it whatsoever. And if Noah had changed it to oak and maple and called it a good work, that would not have justified it. But is it possible that while our brethren are doing many things that are unauthorized, we want to do things that are authorized, but we're not zealous in doing that? We're not active in the local church. We're not signing up for the things that we need to sign up for. We're not busy. We're busy with our own personal lives. That we don't have time to be an active, loyal member of the local church. Sign me up for what I need to do. I believe it's just as wrong not to be zealous of authorized things as it is to be doing things that are unauthorized. So as we think about these matters this evening, let us be zealous ourselves. We want to do things that are authorized. Absolutely. But when we know what those things are, let's jump in there with our spouse and with our children. We're teaching them how to be involved in the local church so that they can stay faithful when we're dead and gone. Jump in there, roll our sleeves up, and be zealous of good works. So as we close this evening, I want to close with our scripture reading there in Hebrews chapter 11. Noah was successful because he was moved with godly fear. Godly fear has an attitude toward Bible authority that I'm going to do only what God wants me to do. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing substituting. I fear God. I reverence and respect Him so much that I'm simply going to do what He wants me to do. But we need to learn the matter of Bible authority. Noah knew what was pleasing to God. It wasn't difficult. Did you notice that when God gave Adam and Eve the instructions in the garden, did you notice that Eve repeated those instructions? They knew what God wanted them to do. Cain and Abel knew what God wanted them to do. Noah knew what God wanted them to do. It's not difficult. He did what God commanded and all that God commanded. Why did he do it? He was moved with godly fear. Let's have that same reverence and respect for God and His Word that we'll do the great things. Building an ark is a great task. We'll do those great things today that we need to be doing. And we'll be doing them by Bible and godly authority. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement, Hark the Gentle Voice. Jesus is calling gently. He wants you to come There's going to be statements in the judgment day that won't be so gentle. But now it's a gentle call, tenderly calling for you to come. In the judgment day, it'll be a lot different. Sweet His cry of love and pity call. Turn and listen, stay and hear. It's an opportunity to come. We offer the invitation because of Bible authority for that. We're trying to do the work and the worship of the church here, and I appreciate our elders and our deacons and all of us who are trying to do that work. Let's be busy in that work. But we want to do only that which we have authority for. That may limit us. It may make us different from the other groups in town where we're not offering some of the things that they're offering. That's right. But we just simply want to be pleasing to God. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you to come, why won't you, as we stand and as we sing?